Hello, Vol Nation. Coach Fulmer here. We have been working like heck, and we are ready. I'm confident we will be playing football in Neyland Stadium this fall. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay strong.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
As everybody has waited all offseason for this moment, to hear that it's game night. It's time for Tennessee football. And when the Pride of the Southland Band forms that famed team, you are swimming in Southern college football pageantry.
The Vols are back. And before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
There was a time and place that this university was feared. My goal is to get us back.
Since 1974, I know what the University of Tennessee and the great fan base here is about. I know that. When people talk about Rocky Top, I know what they're talking about.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
What's up? Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. What day is it? Thursday edition of the program.
And yes, Eric, everyone's car is okay, including all tires, engines,
we made it.
Paint jobs, seats.
You know how good it feels that Will has to do punishment and that ours is already over with?
Cool. Pretty good.
How I felt last Tuesday.
It's probably how you felt all week.
All week. Look at you riding high on the Gamecocks. Will Muschamp coming through for you. Little Gus.
He owes me after last year.
Little Gus Mouse on a choke job.
Too much innuendo there. Riding high on the Gamecocks, choke job. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, buddy,
you said it. I mean, it's just got to be careful, depending on team mascot.
We have
be a spicy chicken.
It's we have the
bad
items.
Chicken.
We have the items ready for Sticky Will's ice bra punishment today.
Newman, you wouldn't eat broccoli if it was deep fried in chocolate sauce.
He has his.
Is that what I love? Broccoli.
What do they call that? Nude color? His nude color.
Yeah, it's a
40
flesh tone.
40 double D bra ready to go. Full coverage, said.
Full coverage.
You're going to have lots of room for ice in there.
That thing is bigger than you. Good gracious.
How do you use these?
Will it stay up on him? Did you actually?
I don't know.
Is it tight enough?
We may have to go find a, you know, a twist tie or a rubber band or
some
I don't
duct
know.
Tape.
Yeah, maybe just
I think I got some duct tape
back.
In the car. Callum says every time he hears the new intro, triggering intensifies.
You don't even know how to unhook it?
I mean, I can figure it out, but I'm so confused.
It's best to know beforehand.
This is good practice for you as you grow up and become a man.
Sure.
He's a young man.
You need to be able to undo the classic back, you know.
You're a terrible example of
what
are you doing?
I was telling y'all before we came in, the only chicks I've ever liked.
Sports
bras?
They're women, Will.
Sports bras.
Don't call them chicks.
I haven't seen a female in a romantic way since, like, December of last year. It's been a minute.
Good gracious.
But this is good because eventually you'll go out on a nice date and they won't wear a sports bra.
All right.
Or training bra.
Speaking of good. Well, good show everyone. I think that's my cue.
We had Vol calls last night.
Yay.
Gall.
Yay gall. Was it good?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy Pruitt said Harrison Bailey's only missed four practices.
Makes sense, adds up.
And then he talked about how the other quarterbacks have to catch up and that you can't put too much expectations on freshmen. The first tweet I saw back to that was, how much expectations can you put on fifth-year seniors?
Touché.
He said this week, effort has not been an issue at practice. So that's good. He also said it's been the best 3 days the defensive line's had at practice all year. Imagine that.
Just dancing on the Brumbaugh grave. Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. You get rid of a guy, you're taking over. You got to make sure that everybody knows that all of a sudden that group's going to be real good.
I didn't like the fact that he said they managed the quarterback position the same way we managed the nose guard and the linebacker and the free safety and the kicker and everybody else. You practice during the week, and the guys that earn the opportunity to play on Saturdays play. Remember how he said it's like he treats the quarterback position like it's the same as the kicker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a really good start to the show. I'm really in a good mood all of a sudden.
Ah, sorry. So what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Nate, from Vol Calls that you really want to get to?
Do you he got asked a pretty good question by Colby in Lexington, Tennessee.
Where's that at?
That's not a real place.
I don't know. It's just what it says. Said, Coach, you've made the comment that you're graded against Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. We haven't had much success against those teams to date. But I guess my question is, what is your message to the fan base, to recruits out there that are wondering when we will take that next step to become in the conversation with the Big Three?
I like
maybe become the Big Four again. You want to hear his answer? I don't know if you'll
sure.
like it, love it.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not nothing. He said, that's a great question.
It is.
We've got to continue to develop players within our program. We've got to continue to recruit at a high level. That's something I believe we're doing. Each week in this league, especially the way it is this year with playing 10 SEC games, anybody in the SEC can probably beat anybody in a given week. We'll find out Saturday. And probably anybody can lose to anybody in a given week. So you get 60 minutes to prove each Saturday that you're the best team. Unfortunately, the last 2 weeks we did not. And we have to continue to improve in all three phases. We have not come close to playing a clean football game, but it's something that we've got to work on in practice. Whether it's keeping it simpler on both sides of the ball, executing a higher level, preparing harder if you're a player. It's everybody within the program. And our guys have a good attitude and we're continuing to work hard.
Good. Good answer. Just work hard.
He said they've been COVID-free for 4.5 weeks. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Knock on wood. Especially as Florida has canceled all football activity. How long is that cancellation for them?
It's until Monday, next Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but their bye week is this week.
Right. So they're still at least on track to play Georgia next Saturday?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, good. One day closer to Alabama. We sleeping on this team a little bit?
No.
Okay. Just trying anything. Trying to see if.
Oh, and JG's banged up a little, and Brian Maurer's been dealing with a hamstring and a knee thing. But he's been practicing this week, so he's good to go now.
Good.
So, and Alante's dealing with a hamstring. And Jeremy Banks is an ankle. He said both guys practiced today. That would have been yesterday. Says Jeremy's a little bit limited. Alante practiced yesterday and today, so it'll probably be a game time decision for both guys.
That's not good.
Cooper Mays has been banged up, along with Jerome Carvin and Jameer Johnson. And Riley Locklear hasn't played since Missouri because of his injuries on the offensive line.
Great.
Maybe that's why everything's been going downhill.
No Locklear?
No Locklear.
That's it? That's your go-to?
I think we figured it out.
Hmm.
our best player, just most important?
Sure. Yeah. Sounds about right. Adds up, you know?
All right, here's the one question.
This is such a tough week, man. Like, you get blasted by Kentucky, and there's no you, rally the troops. Let's just get motivated and go win the next one.
You got to hear this, though. This is from David in Knoxville. Good evening, gentlemen.
Not me.
He gives his full name. This is David Marshall, and I'm down here at the Calhoun's deck, and I'm so, I hate I missed Coach Pruitt tonight.
Well, he wasn't there in person, probably.
Bob Kessling replies, "No, he's on the line." David, laughing, "Well, he's on the line, but I wanted to get my picture with him. I'll have to wait."
COVID, man, we gotta bubble these guys up.
Bob replies, "We've got protocols."
Yeah, see, protocol.
And then David gets to his question. I understand that's COVID's doing a number on our season. It's kind of getting to my question. I was wondering how well Harrison Bailey's doing with his. I know he missed a lot of practice in the offseason with the quarantine. I was just wondering if he's coming around and how he's looking, if we're going to throw fresh meat into the Crimson Tide this week, or if we're going to roll with JG. Do we know yet? Pruitt answered, "Well, I can tell you this. Everybody puts unrealistic expectations on freshmen. I would say right now that Mac Jones is probably playing as good as any quarterback I've seen, as efficient as any quarterback I've seen in college football, and there's been some pretty good ones over the last couple of years. He's playing extremely well, but in 2017, I was the defensive coordinator at Alabama, and we won the national championship, and we had a lot of really good players. And Mac was a freshman, and he ran our scout team. But I would say that if we would have played Mac at quarterback that year, we probably would have won about 7 or 8 games. But if you look at him right now, 4 years later, in the same system with a chance to develop and grow and mature, he's playing as good as anybody that's played in college football. The same will happen with every freshman in our program and every freshman at every program. You can't put unrealistic expectations on them. You've got to let them grow and develop at their own pace. Harrison works extremely hard. He has experienced some unfortunate circumstances. Really, not him. He only missed 4 days of practice, but because of the lack of numbers on our team, the quarterback reps got cut down, not only for him, but for most of our guys. He's working hard to catch back up, and he'll continue to do that."
What are our expectations for Harrison Bailey? He's, you know, don't put unrealistic. I don't think anybody's saying put him in there and he'll be the best quarterback in the SEC and we'll win the rest. I don't think that's what anybody's saying.
No, our
I think we're saying you're mentioning development. This is a redshirt year, whether he plays a million snaps or zero. So, like, if the other guys ain't working out and you've got a guy with, I would think, a high ceiling, we just want to change to give us some hope for the future. The expectations for Harrison Bailey are not world beater status. It's, can he not fumble it, you know, every other two plays, right? Can he not throw it to the other team and have them return it for touchdowns? I mean, I know he was 1 of 4. Jabari Small had a drop. She probably should have been 2 of 4. The throw to Wyman was really good. I don't know. I think back to 04 when we had Ainge and Schaefer, and they were kind of co-starters.
Mm-hmm.
And they each had kind of a game plan, right? Like,
yep.
Hey, you've got these plays that you're going to run if you get in, and you've got these plays. And you had just, you know, you kept it simple for them, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. Davey, that was a question yesterday. We beat Florida, Georgia, Alabama. We should have beat Notre Dame. Like, we should have lost one regular season game that year. With
two true freshmen
who both got hurt. Mm-hmm. Rick Clawson came in and, I want to say he helped salvage the season. You had the easy part of the schedule was left. It can be done. Howell at North Carolina, he was a freshman last year, wasn't he? Zipping it all over the field, or was that 2 years ago?
No, it was last year.
But he started, true freshman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I I don't know if...
I mean, basically, he thinks the fan base thinks that Harrison Bailey can be as good as Mac Jones this year.
No.
And that's not...
I mean, that's crazy. Like, that's insane to me that that's the first place his brain went. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah, you think he's going to be Mac Jones. He's not going to be Mac... I don't need him to be Mac Jones.
We need him to be better than Jarrett Garantano.
That's it.
That's it.
Any of the guys, just better than that. And by better, I don't mean necessarily can do as much and not do the turnovers. Like, if they can do a little less, but not... turn it over, mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Right.
Like that, how can he not see that the six turnovers in four quarters have lost you the last two football games? Like, your team was competing with Georgia. And then you gave them two field goals, and you gave them a touchdown.
Well,
Same thing with Kentucky.
From a fan perspective, he's probably getting a lot of that information from the flagship, which we kind of know how some of those fans are.
Possible, but and maybe that is. I don't listen to him.
No, I think he's creating that out of his own
like fear.
Worst fear.
Like,
of
if
what,
I start him and he's not Mac Jones.
I think he's creating that of his own fear. I mean, I would say the state run listeners are like this guy that called in last night and said, "I know the record's not, the perception isn't how good you're really doing." I mean, that, like, they're still giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't think anybody has said that or is thinking that. That's his own Alabama mindset that's just completely distorting reality. The reality is the Tennessee fan base, pretty much everyone, is just sick of watching Jarrett Garantano, a guy who has had that long enough to develop.
Plenty of opportunities.
Make the same mistakes.
And worse.
That you, like, those, the stuff Jarrett Garantano's doing is the only things that I would be upset if Harrison Bailey did.
Mm.
Like, if Harrison Bailey doesn't pull the trigger and has to eat it on a sack because he wasn't sure, like, I'm like, yeah, that's a freshman. If he threw back-to-back pick sixes, I'd be like, God, Harrison, like, can you just at least allow us to punt? That's what JG's doing!
Yeah, but with a freshman, you could at least say, all right, freshman.
You're right, but you, like, see what I'm saying? You
no,
see how we moved the goalpost for Jarrett Garantano? It's laughable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's saying, well, our freshman won't be as good as Mac Jones. Your fifth-year senior is worse than any true freshman's expectations would be if they were highly touted coming into any program. Hey, listen, I know you're a true freshman. Just make sure we don't throw back-to-back bad pick sixes. Make sure we can run the ball. Throw it when they're open. Eat it or throw it away when they're not. Mm-hmm. That's all I need you to do. That's what you would tell your true freshman. And JG is screwing that up. And our head coach is so ass backwards that he can't see those two dynamics. It makes no sense to me. It all goes back to the fact that he came in the year thinking, man, JG's our only shot. He's the only guy that can play quarterback this year. They never want that. Like, I don't know why he doesn't have any confidence in the other quarterbacks. Yeah, Sam Howell, true freshman. Now, I know he's really good, but I also know, B, that we were in his recruiting battle and probably could have gotten him if... But
well,
we,
that's what makes it even more frustrating,
but we picked,
right?
JT Shrout. Freshman year, true freshman year at North Carolina. In the ACC, I understand that. Some easier games, but they also played Clemson. So he had his Alabama game. They were a two-point conversion away from winning that, by the way. 259 completions out of 422 attempts. That's 61.4%. For 3,641 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
The
true
38
freshman.
Touchdowns, I believe, is a freshman NCAA record.
Okay, so, I mean, he's really good.
It was definitely an ACC record.
But you could have had him. I mean, so far as a sophomore, his completion percentage has gone up. His yards per attempt have gone up a whole nother yard. And he does currently have 9 touchdowns and 4 picks. Had a little bit of a rough game against Florida State. They still almost came back and won, and he threw for 350, I think. Like, JG's not throwing for 350 yards.
Mm.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Twice? Missouri and Auburn?
Okay. Those are the two games?
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of yards against Georgia State, too. I mean, like,
yeah, it might have been over 300 for that one.
Last six quarters, we've kind of talked about it. We've had 8 punts and 7 turnovers. How many of those, like, is 6 on JG for the turnovers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything but the Shrout.
3 picks, 3 fumbles. Well, unless you want to say the fumble against Kentucky was on Ty Chandler, but
it wasn't.
I don't think so either.
For reference, last year, J.G. had 2,158 yards passing. Sam Howell had 3,600 and change. I mean, like, it's just, as a true freshman, you know, I mean,
Did they play South Carolina early last year?
They did. South Carolina blew it.
Yeah, they came back and beat him in his first start. That would have been Sam Howell's first start.
Did he start or did he come in? He did start that game?
I want to say he was QB1 all year.
Okay. Yeah. They started a true freshman on the road at I'm pretty sure. On the road at South Carolina, started a true freshman. They were down, I think, two scores, came back and won the football game, and then had a really good year for them.
It's also weird to me that we're using the, we missed a lot of practice. So did defenders on other teams. Like, everybody's behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't get a chance to get our quarterbacks as many reps as we want. Neither did anybody else. No one had spring practice. Everyone had weird fall camps.
In his first start, Sam Howell was 15 and 24 for 245 yards, averaged 10.2 yards a pass, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I just... feels like we should be further along.
I wish there could have been a follow-up question from David in Knoxville. Well, Coach, how come JG hasn't? I mean, he's had 5 years. How come he hasn't developed?
Don't be mean.
But see, that's the thing. It's okay that JG hasn't developed in terms of grading Jeremy Pruitt. He just shouldn't be the quarterback. Like, if you bring in a highly touted 4-star quarterback, and in 5 years he hasn't developed into an SEC-caliber quarterback, he can't be the quarterback at the University of Tennessee. We are too good for that. I'm sorry. This is Tennessee. And I will not accept these young sheep that keep saying, well, we just got to accept where we are. I mean, Kentucky just gets better players now than they used to, and South Carolina's not the same old team. I know that those teams are better, but...
You're still way more talented.
You're still Tennessee. Even with all the issues you had coming off of the last coach, you're way more talented than those teams. If South Carolina goes 11-1 next year and you go 5-7, you still can out-recruit them because of your budget, because of the power of the branding of the tee, the Nike arm. I mean, just everything. Everything that you have. You still out-recruit them. You still have better players. And if you've ever coached anything at any level, I mean anything, I don't care if it's T-ball, the team with the better players, that's the biggest advantage. I don't care if it's if it's Bear Bryant versus Butch Jones. If Butch Jones has better players, he'll have a shot.
It is the bigger advantage.
Right.
I mean, wasn't Pruitt's comment getting here, like, we got to get the Jimmys and Joes, and from a statistic standpoint, you're –
He definitely has them better than Kentucky and Missouri and Vanderbilt and South Carolina.
We have at least one Jimmy.
That a boy.
Two.
Yeah, I was just going to
say. Holiday Callaway.
Outside of Alabama, Georgia, and really Florida. I mean, Florida, you're kind of on an equal playing field at least.
Yeah, according to the team rankings. Yeah.
So
you're right around there with Auburn. But right. I think A&M's a little higher than you would think. But
for
they're
those
not.
That you play every year. And even if you're right around there in talent rankings, the fact that you can't get within 20, like, that's coaching.
At home. That's why Saturday, like, I get it, it'll count as a game you lost by more than 20 to an SEC team. That one just felt different to me.
It did.
That felt like the quarterback made mistakes and the team realized they can't win with that guy. And then maybe when they put – if Shrout doesn't throw the pick, maybe you get a little bit of momentum. I think he threw that pick and the whole sideline just died in that game.
Yeah, if Shrout leads you down and gets a field goal,
people are freaking out.
Tennessee might come back and win.
Yeah.
But that goes to the point of there should never be a situation where you don't think you can hang with Kentucky at any point in a game.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vol Navy, for reminding me that Kirby Smart started true freshman quarterback and went to the national championship game. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I don't think he started the first game against North Carolina. I think he came off the bench.
But
then he started true freshman Jake Fromm after Eason went down the next year. So back-to-back years, because didn't Eason go to at least the?
I thought that was what he's thinking. That's what he's talking
about. No, Eason went 8-5. That's right. Then he started as a sophomore, got hurt against App State. Then Fromm came in and then started the rest of the way. But he started two true freshmen. He started Eason the year before.
Oh, okay.
And then started Fromm, and then made it to the national championship.
Like, I mean, this is like Butch Jones level stuff.
What was
man.
You're just lying. What was Jalen Hurts when he?
It was Blake Barnett and Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts,
true freshmen.
They were both true freshmen
against USC.
And then when Tua came in the national championship game, what was he?
Freshman.
True freshman.
Yeah.
Like, it happens.
We don't, and we don't we didn't expect our true freshman this year to start the season and go win the Natty.
No,
we just wanted our true freshman this year to maybe be in the rotation to start the year, or maybe it's Maurer and Trout, anybody but JG being like get to play maybe from Jump Street because they've caught up and are equal or better than Jarrett Garantano, and maybe go 6-4, maybe 7-3. That'd have been a fine season.
Like, I would have been happy at 5-5. I don't even know if we can do that now.
Yeah, that's. I think we can. It's not going to be easy.
Well, it's possible. I'm not going to argue that.
I think the team's talented enough to do it, but there has to be either a miraculous just change with JG's mentality and personality and the way he kind of handles bad things happening to him, or you're going to have to change quarterbacks. And that could go both ways. You could change quarterbacks and go 6-4. You could also change quarterbacks and go 3-7. But that's the thing. This is a weird year. I don't really care. If we go 3-7 with Harrison Bailey, I can live with that. We go 3-7 with Jarrett Garantano for 10 games. Like, what have you done to set yourself up for success next year? This is a blown year. It doesn't matter if he plays as far as a red shirt. You keep saying he didn't get enough reps in practice. Well, then give him reps in games. Those are more valuable anyway.
I know we're in, then we're out, and then we're in on the FPI right now.
Oh, God. No, we canceled the FPI.
Predicts us going 4-6, but you only have a 51% chance against Arkansas, so that's pretty much a toss-up. Mm. But, hey, still got Vandy.
Shouts out Vanderbilt. Neat.
We'll come back with more. We got to get Sticky Will ready with his ice bra set for his punishment today from SEC Survivor.
It's Driptober.
He did draw Kirby Literally. Smart's Georgia Bulldogs on Friday, and of course they lost to Alabama. He faces punishment. It's gonna be something here next on 3 and Out. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union.
Let the sun beat down upon my face.
Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out.
Today was a bad day not to wear deodorant. I just realized that.
Nah, you'll be fine. You'll be cold. You're not going to be sweating.
It's not y'all. It's just I am getting the whiff every time I move.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That must be bad.
I like that Davey played a song about the desert sun and sand. A nice, warm feeling song. As Sticky Will stuffs that bra with ice.
Oh, my goodness. What a great look.
Will, you are one ugly woman. Just wanted to let you know, buddy. You are one ugly woman. I can't say what I would say in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
You're going to have to get a good picture, you know.
I will.
You got the good
I got
angle.
It. Yep.
All right.
Oh, Robin, you lost your arms in battle. But you grew a nice wreck.
You're so skinny.
Skinny Will. Skinny Will, we call
All right. The rest of
one. Hey, Pope, lift that bra up a little bit. Got a nip slip going on there.
It doesn't fit, mate.
Hang on, I'll adjust the straps.
You probably should have gone to like the kids section or something.
Davey was right when he said
that. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. Yeah, just adjust the straps right here.
No. Up he top. Doesn't know. He's like.
He'll figure it out.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will. Wardrobe malfunction again.
Y'all got it.
There's some saggy eyes.
How's the temperature? Yeah he's got
way.
It. There you
there
go.
You go.
Do you have a friend that's just a girl that like would be willing to like show you how to do these things?
Are you asking me if I have a friend that's a girl or you have a friend that's a girl?
No, I'm asking you.
Do you have? Yeah.
I don't have friends in general.
Okay. Good point. Good point by you.
Oh, I don't know why I said JT Charles. Brian Maurer was in the same class as Sam Howell. And here's something that's interesting, because Mitchell sent me this. He sent me a clip of an article about Sam Howell coming and visiting with Tyson Helton and saying how much he liked Tennessee and the
made
visit
him a priority.
Yeah. Already leaking.
What? No.
No. Condensation.
Yeah, condensation. You'll be fine.
That's nothing.
There is some
you
water running
do it
down.
When it was the ice pants.
If you the top of the bags need to be facing up to avoid leakage. It's like a waterbed.
They should be sealed.
Yeah, I sound like the old man, but I was like, whenever you had to do 3 hours of the ice still in the pants, that was rough.
We did get rid of the ice diaper.
Back in my day,
I had to sit in a tub back here.
It doesn't help that I have a chest hole birth defect that just doesn't support anything. Mm.
That's where your heart was. They took it out.
Yeah,
you don't have one.
You need to go to Oz or something. Get you that heart back.
Jeez, that was
I almost died at birth, and y'all are making fun of me. Thanks.
No,
he's more of the don't have the brain character.
You're actually all of the Wizard of Oz characters in one. How are you on courage? Are you a brave man?
I mean, like, I don't have an embarrassment gene or an awkward gene, but I also, like... Mm. Like, I mean, I can do, like, wacky stuff when I'm being funny, but, like, in terms of, like, approaching somebody or, like, sending a meal back or something, no,
okay.
Not
so
my,
you
not
are
my tea.
You are Scarecrow, Tin Man, Lion.
Now Dorothy.
And now Dorothy, yes. All that's left is Toto, and you'll be you kind of look like a little Toto.
My parents have a Yorkie.
Was Toto a Yorkie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was. Mm-hmm. It's so tough because I thought he was all black. Was
he's
he
mostly
not?
Black? Yeah.
Oh, okay. But it was a Yorkie
got
though.
A little Yorkie. Okay. Face.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Dogs look way different now than they did years ago. Genetics, breeding, changes everything.
So here's the problem with like recruiting and insiders and like what they tell the fan base. Like the insider said, you know, we kind of passed on Sam Howell because maybe.
Apparently it's a different type of terrier.
Maybe we didn't.
Boston.
Karen.
Yeah. It's Karen Terrier.
Mm-hmm. You can't call him that. It's 2020. That word's been canceled.
That's with a C, I think, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. It's a homophone.
Anyway.
Yorkie's close enough.
I'm surprised Toto didn't just call the cops on everyone that walked up to him on the Elbrick Road.
So anyway, back to recruiting.
Yeah, back to recruiting.
Maybe they just couldn't convince Sam Howell to come, and they had to settle for Brian Maurer. But you can't tell your recruiting insiders that. You have to say we preferred Brian Maurer.
Yeah,
right?
we didn't want him anyway.
So either way, it's a coaching loss on the recruiting trail. Either way, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Your guy hasn't got to play some last year. Actually, I thought Brian Maurer gave the team a spark. Now, he made some
before
mistakes.
He got hurt against Georgia, before he took that corner blitz, mm-hmm. and I don't know if he ever woke up, he looked good, man. I mean, he made some really good throws, but then after that, you could tell. I mean, remember the Mississippi State game, the two early interceptions that just left you scratching your head? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, he started against Alabama, too, and then got banged up, and then JG had to come in.
I think that's right.
Because he didn't play at all against South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, their guy that they got mm-hmm. is, you know, setting records as a true freshman. Our guy we got has been banged up a lot and hasn't, you know, didn't even see the field on Saturday when three guys did.
Yep.
Like, that just – and again, Harrison Bailey is another chance to be your Sam Howell, to be a guy that's just better than everybody.
Right.
To be your, you know – I know, and John Akery sent this in, like, Trevor Lawrence won a national championship as a true freshman. Like, it's kind of a slight, if you think about it, by Jeremy Pruitt saying, you're a five-star
but
stud
that's what
true
I'm saying.
Freshman.
Like, we're not expecting him to be Trevor Lawrence. Not only because Trevor Lawrence is sensational. Granted, you know, Harrison Bailey, five-star, but he also was inserted into a perennial playoff contender at Clemson. Like, everything around him was really good. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe Jeremy Pruitt realizes, hey, we're not good enough around Harrison Bailey for him to succeed at a high level, but you're not good enough around JG, and I don't know if you really could be, to have him succeed at a high level.
I feel like that's more of a 90s approach.
No, I agree with that. I mean...
Yeah, the quarterback should make everyone else better, not the opposite.
And that's what's happening
and even,
here.
And even
opposite.
His boy, Nick Saban in Alabama, is like... Okay, yeah, it took Mac Jones 4 years to be that good, but it took Trevor Lawrence and Sam Howell.
It took Trevor Lawrence 4 games.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, it helps Trevor Lawrence because they were those first 4 games, they were winning them by 35, 40 apiece, so he got to get in and get some run.
I mean, North Carolina and Mac Brown's first year, though, wasn't wasn't Clemson, you know?
No, I agree. I agree.
There's other true freshmen starting all around college football and teams that are just kind of ho-hum going along around 500, I'm sure. You know? Like, it's not that hard. It's not that crazy. He just seems to have this complete distortion of what's going on right now. And like you said, the expectations for Harrison Bailey are just that he would look like a competent quarterback.
A competent freshman quarterback.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I don't know. All right, so now, Houston Cress, your class of 2022, five-star, number one quarterback in the country. You have dreamed of playing for the University of Tennessee, but Jeremy Pruitt says he can't really put expectations on freshmen. We'll probably never play a true freshman. Doesn't that make you think?
I'm definitely asking questions.
Yeah.
I'm definitely asking questions as to why he thinks that. I mean, I get it. Maybe your receivers aren't Alabama's receivers or Clemson's receivers, but your offensive line's good enough. Pass pro's good enough. Running backs are decent enough. Again, go back and watch. JG's two pick sixes against Kentucky, the pocket was clean. He did not have any pressure at the time he threw the pass. Like, that is the major problem. He doesn't see coverage. That is the major problem. Harrison Bailey, on the one completion to Weidman, saw the coverage and threw it up for Weidman to make a play. That's recognizing coverage and throwing the ball to a spot where only your receiver can catch it. I can live with that. And yeah, he's going to float one out there and it's going to get picked off by a safety. That's I get it. But also, by playing anybody else, you're gonna raise the level of play for the rest of your team. Because I'm telling you right now, you saw it in the second half against Georgia, and you saw it on Saturday. When JG makes a mistake, this team is out on him, and they don't bounce back. You can't do that to your team. They deserve better. They deserve you to at least try for better, to strive for better.
And what happens to the team if you have that early turnover against Alabama?
I don't know this week that it really matters.
Well, not from a game, but I'm talking about the rest of the team standpoint. Like, if they're just like, here we go again, and it's just like, what's the point? Why even try? And then you get the doors blown off of you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that would – I think that might happen either way. That's all I'm saying. Now, what if the opposite happens? What if Harrison Bailey goes out there and leads you on a touchdown drive and you're up 7-0? Again, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but it might give everybody else a little bit of motivation for the rest of that game and the rest of the season. Because, I'll be honest, I'm not worried about Jeremy Pruitt losing the team unless he continues to start Garantano after another bad performance this weekend. Because all signs right now point to Garantano starting again. And if he plays poorly against Alabama, which he probably will, and then you don't make a change over the next 2 weeks heading into Arkansas, that is a really scary situation on the road. Is that time? That's a night game, right? Didn't they set the Arkansas time for 7:30?
I don't think they've set it yet, have they?
I thought they did earlier in the season. They may not have. It may have been a different
Here's
one.
The problem with the way Jeremy Pruitt perceives it, though. JG's going to play better against Alabama than he did against Kentucky, because you literally can't play worse than he did against Kentucky.
That's fair.
It's the old set the bar so low, it's not hard to jump over.
Lower the bar, over the bar.
I mean, can you have two worse possessions as a quarterback than back-to-back pick sixes? I don't think so. There's nothing else. There's nothing. I mean.
Well, wasn't it fumble, pick six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three straight turnovers? I mean, like. And they fumbled and intercepted. We recovered one of them, but three straight times against Georgia. So if you're having three straight possessions,
it was four. It was fumble lost, fumble recovered, fumble or interception.
I think there was a punt in between those three too.
Okay,
but like in
Kansas is.
I think you're right. Like in four out of six possessions, maybe in the Georgia game, we either turned it over, three out of the four, and fumbled 20 yards behind us, and Wanye recovered it. You literally can't play worse than that. So JG will probably come out against Alabama, throw a bunch of incompletions, throw it away a lot. We'll get stuffed in the running game. We'll lose bad. And JP will go to the podium and be like, yeah, I thought Jarrett Garantano, he didn't really make any plays, but he at least cut down the mistakes this week. And it's like, buddy, yeah, there was nowhere to go but up for JG. And that was Kentucky, and this is Alabama. Just drive me nuts. All right, final segment, hour one, back at you next. Final segment, Hour number one. This is it. Last one to go. Then you get a break, Will.
I'm like, once you get past the pain and like the Ziploc edges poking you, I kind of look ripped in this.
I told you, you'd look like you had, you know, pecs.
Especially like when I'm like in a little bit of pain, I kind of flex and I'm looking at the camera. I look sick. I might be a bra guy.
It's a bro.
Manzia!
You realize you can like move the Ziplocs to where bags to where they're not poking you, right?
Yeah, I like the pain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. It's not a challenge if it's not really hurting me, isn't it?
Good point.
Yeah.
Hard to argue that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what we do.
Sorry,
now,
Will.
As fans, just
you just sit back and take it.
Yep. Embrace the suck. Wasn't that our saying
a
while back?
Mm-hmm. Callum says, so a freshman at Alabama had a chance to win 7 or 8 games, but our fifth-year senior has us a chance to win 4. Make it make sense. I had to make it make sense. Let's see here.
I feel like, you know the scene from The Office where Andy Bernard's just saying, I can too, just sit here and cry? I feel like that's where we are as a fan base or a radio show right now.
Mm-hmm.
Feels good. Feels good. Let's see. Travis tweets in and says, would not playing Harrison Bailey in a year where eligibility doesn't count be more egregious than Butch burning Dobbs' red shirt in 2014? I didn't have a problem with him burning the red shirt in 2014. I had more of a problem with him
trying to save him.
Because he tried to redshirt him in 13, and then he came in against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tried to redshirt him again in 14, and he came in for Peterman against Alabama. At this point, with what I've seen out of your starting quarterback, I mean,
I would burn Harrison Bailey's red shirt if it counted this year.
Yeah, yeah, precisely.
I would have done it a long time ago, too.
Doug Janeway tweets in and says, I've been saying it all week. If JG plays a good game Saturday, are we stuck with him? Yeah. Yeah, man. If he plays a good game Saturday, you are. But if he plays a good game Saturday, maybe you fixed him.
No, you just have to wait for him to throw 3 picks and you lose to Vanderbilt.
I know.
Or Arkansas, or
Auburn. Like, we might be Auburn's get-right game this rate.
Great. Captain Touchback says, consider this. At what point did you think Butch Jones wasn't the guy, and when did you know he wasn't? Are you at that point to either question with Jeremy Pruitt?
Butch made it farther than Pruitt has, in my opinion.
So you're at that part with Pruitt?
I'll say
no.
The first time I thought is Butch Jones not the guy is when you were down 24-3 against Georgia after the loss to Arkansas when you were up 17-0. You'd been up 17-0 to Oklahoma and lost. Then you were up 17-0 to Arkansas, opening kick return, Evan Berry. When you got down that big that early to Georgia, that was when I thought, okay, this guy just may not have it. And then you came back and won that game. In 2015, you kind of, you know, put together a nice run towards the end of the season, kept it close at Alabama, won the games you were supposed to, won a bowl game, and then he kind of saved himself. When did I know Butch Jones wasn't the guy? South Carolina, coming off a bye.
I thought it was first half of Florida that year. Like I thought, like at halftime, I was like, "All right, when do we get a new coach?" And then that team in 2016 came back and won it.
That wasn't the first time you thought he might not be the guy, though, right?
No,
that was the first time in your head. Like, if it continues this way, I know he's not the guy. See, that Georgia game and that Florida game to me are very similar. Like, you're just getting blasted by an SEC East opponent at home, and then all of a sudden the light switch goes on and your team comes back and wins in miraculous fashion. Those two games are very similar to me.
I just, and again, like this might be me just misremembering it, but I thought Butch was at least more, he was willing to try to change things if they weren't working in the game. Like he wasn't so dead set on just keeping the same quarterback in there, even though it wasn't working.
But once you got Dobbs, it didn't really matter.
No, but like even before then, you saw him like keep trying different quarterbacks after, like, I mean, there was the Worley situation.
Worley started the whole time, didn't he? The first year? Didn't he start every game that year? Did we play 2 quarterbacks Worley's first year?
What year was it? Florida 2013? And again, that was his first year, but you had the Peterman, Worley, and Dobbs situation, right? Or was
that was 14?
Okay,
13, if I'm not mistaken, was the 10-9 game up here. Worley played the whole game. Checker Nealon,
yeah.
That 14 was when you didn't have Worley anymore, and I can't remember who started in 2014 because it was you started Peterman in the Swamp. He got his first start in the Swamp because they were trying to redshirt Dobbs again. And Peterman, much like JG, he's so good in practice, man. He's really good. He looks like the best quarterback. And then he got out there, and basically exactly what you've seen with JG in the second half of Georgia and first half of Kentucky, just complete deer in the headlights, give the ball to the other team. Going back to Captain Touchback's questions, the South Carolina loss is when I knew. That's when I said you got to fire the guy. Don't drag this on.
I would even say to just 100% no. I mean, I think if I was actually having to make the call as the athletic director, I think it would have been the Vanderbilt game because
I'm not going to fire him right after the South Carolina game, but after that game, he's not making it to the end of the season.
If he wins out though, and you go to the Sugar Bowl,
okay.
I don't think you can fire him. But once you lost at General Nealon was brought in to beat Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be losing to Vanderbilt with a shot to go to the Sugar Bowl on the line.
Yep.
You can't.
That's fair.
Let's chew on some more though. That's a great question. And I think it deserves more. I also want to get back to that practice comment that you made as well, because that's driving me nuts. Hour two, next.